Our text for this evening is the Gospel reading, which we heard read, sometimes called the Song of Mary, even though we don't have an indication that she sung it herself, but in poetic form, it inspires our songs. I read for you again verses 50 and following. "And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate." This is our text. What makes Mary magnify the Lord? I think it's something like what makes a balloon enlarge. It is both because of the greater pressure on the inside and the lesser pressure on the outside. The greater the difference between the inside and the outside, the bigger the balloon. With Mary, we praise and magnify God for both his greatness and his worthiness, but also because of our contrasting neediness and unworthiness, and because of what God does for us in spite of the difference. The greater the difference, the more the praise. So, as we look tonight at another of the biblical songs of the Savior, we too sing like Mary of God's blessings. We sing of the greatness of our need. We sing of the greatness of God's might. And we sing of the greatness of God's mercy. Let's think first about how we sing of the greatness of our need. Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed." I heard just recently one of the most popular secular Christmas songs of all time, "Blue Christmas" by Elvis Presley. Maybe like me, you wonder, why do people seem to like sad, depressing songs, especially at Christmas time? Maybe it is because those songs express how they feel. Mary's song starts with this kind of expression of feeling about herself. She sees her humble state. She is seeing herself as lowly and needy, not just physically, but spiritually. She knows she needs a Savior from her sins. She's rejoicing in having a Savior. And that's why she bursts with joy over the fact that she has one. Now, she doesn't say the words of our text immediately after the angel tells her that she's going to be the mother of the Savior. She's still pondering those things in her heart. But later on, when she goes and meets her cousin Elizabeth, and Elizabeth also recognizes her with the help of John, her infant in her womb, as the mother of the Lord, and they start talking about it, then this song of joy bursts out of her. Maybe you've had that experience too, where you have these feelings that are inside of you, and you contain them until you start talking about it. And then the feelings just overflow. This is the time of year when feelings overflow, both good feelings and sometimes bad feelings. We think of it as a joyful time of the year, but that can make it all the harder for those who are down and low. Maybe because of grief or other losses, because of sickness or disease, because of job setbacks, financial troubles, maybe because of broken relationships or depression. What better time to join in the song of Mary about a Savior who looks on the humble state of his servant? But then Mary's song has a change of tune. She says, things are going to change from now on. Everybody's going to call me blessed. Why? It's because we sing of the greatness of God's might. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. Someone once pointed out, only small birds sing. Never thought about that before. Big, powerful birds like eagles or swans, they don't sing. They squawk, they honk, but they don't sing. Well, the point of this observation, I think, is not so much about birds, but it's about people. Big, powerful people don't seem to have a lot of reason to sing God's praises as much as the little ones that he protects and he provides for. Mary observes that the proud and the mighty who may think they can take care of themselves are brought down low from their high seats and they're scattered. Because God is more mighty. Everything that seems to be secure to them all the time actually is depending on God to hold them up. Today, as in the past, there are those who have political power. They have military might. They may have the power of money. Or they may just be that guy who has the power to pull the strings at work and to push our buttons as well. And it may seem that they can get away with anything they want, and there's nothing we can do about it. But both Scripture and history show they can still fall. And so often in the end, and sometimes secretly beforehand, they're broken and empty, a hollow shell. Because God is the only one who's really in control. Meanwhile, that one who is mighty, God, has done great things for me. Even in the midst of my troubles, God is still providing good things. He exalts those that are low. When we recognize that we ourselves are actually among those who are proud too often and self-righteous, and we humble ourselves, God forgives us. And God changes us. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. He exalts us by calling us and making us children of the Most High King of the universe, by giving us joy with his presence, even in the midst of our sufferings, by raising us up even from the dead to himself in heaven. Now, why does God, who is almighty, do such things for people like us, who are lowly and undeserving? It's because of his mercy. We sing the greatness of God's mercy. Mary says, his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. God remembers. He remembers all the promises of his mercy he has given to our ancestors, going all the way back to Adam and Eve. He remembers the plan that he had before the very creation of the world, that he was going to send his son to be our Savior, because already then he knew that we were going to sin and we were going to need a Savior, and already then he planned to love every one of us. He remembers how he has used his great might to guide the whole course of history, to use the weak and the undeserving descendants of Abraham in order to make them to be the human family of Jesus, who humbled himself even more to be the lowliest of all, to die on a cross, to seemingly be overcome by all the powerful, and yet by this very act, to overthrow all the power of sin that traps us, the power of the devil who tricks us, and the power of death that overwhelms us, and to fill us instead with his own goodness. He reminds Mary of his mercy with his words to her. He reminds us of his mercy through Mary's words for us here. He reminds us of His mercy each and every time we hear or read His Word. He reminds us each time we hear the absolution, the forgiveness of our sins. He reminds us each time we think of our baptism. He reminds us each time we receive Jesus' body and blood in Holy Communion. He reminds us each time we tell someone else of God's love for them as well. Here, when Mary has been reminded of what God has done, a song now comes bursting out of her heart like a child bursting out of a pregnant woman. This Advent season is for us now spiritual pregnancy. As God fills us more and more with the joy that forms in us until it comes bursting out at Christmas. So we too sing of the greatness of our need. We start with the sad song of our troubles and how lowly and undeserving we are because we recognize our sin. We sing of the greatness of God's might. We praise Him for His sovereign control of all those who seem and who consider themselves to be powerful, and His ability to bring down the proud, including us, demonstrating our need for His grace. And then we sing of the greatness of God's mercy, because He uses His power to help us, instead of punishing us as we deserve. Jesus humbles Himself to be our Savior in order to exalt us as His own dear children, who rejoice in His love in spite of every trouble of this life, and eagerly look forward to being lifted up to heaven itself. May God grant that this is true for each of us. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in true faith to life everlasting. Amen. We now turn to sing the next hymn number 930.